go straight into the Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this privilege that you and my fathers have given me to come to share the Word with my brethren. Lord, I have no confidence in myself as a person. Lord, I put all of my confidence in your mercy. Lord, in your grace and your goodness, in your love, to help me to use my preparation so that, Lord, you will anoint my heart and my lips afresh. Let your Word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring light and life. Let it bring strength and refreshing comfort in God's presence. Let the Word come with power. Let it come with accuracy. Let it come with simplicity in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. And let it be received with the same unction and the same anointing, Lord, upon the Word. Let it be upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren and myself in the name of Jesus. So that in your presence today, Lord, our wills will be more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, under the covering of my fathers, Lord, I now dock and I ask that as your Word goes forth, Lord, under the anointing and the covering of my fathers, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, enabling us, Lord, to be doers of the things that we hear. Help us to see better the invisible. Help us to receive more, Lord, that which looks apparently impossible, so that truly in this season of manifestation, Lord, we will manifest the incredible in Jesus' name. I ask for mercy to redeem the time. Help me, Lord, to speak as an oracle of God. Lord, as you direct and not as I desire. Help me not to speak from myself, but Lord, to speak of you and of my fathers, so that truly, Lord God, there will be no unrighteousness and all of your will be done in our service this evening through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to the Word without much ado, and the Word, God dropped this Word in my heart, and I've entitled it, Proving God Faithful. Proving God Faithful. We're living in a time when there's so many things going on in the world. You know, there's signs, you know, going on in the heavens and on the earth, and the men's hearts are failing them for fear, and we see all manner of depravity, no, in creation and on the earth, you know, and you ask yourself, where is God in all of this, you know? And God is very much around, you know, many times, amen. Pastor says, I thank you, sir. I says, God is in you, God is in me, amen. But He needs to shine forth. We need to demonstrate Him. We need to prove Him faithful. We need to show that God is not irresponsible. No matter all this, we correct things that are going on. So that we now set the world right side up by the mercy and the grace of God. And put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So that men truly know that our God is alive. Our God is faithful. And we prove it. The Bible says in Matthew 24:14. You know, just allowing the Spirit of God to lead me. You know, and it says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all ethnos for a witness. That witness there is proving God faithful. When there's a witness, you know, what does a witness do? A witness comes to tell you what was true, what really happened, what was it. It gives you a true account. The Bible calls Jesus a faithful and a true witness. Now, we also are faithful and true witnesses in Jesus' name. And this message is really about how we allow that faithfulness to shine forth. Amen. So, you know, we say it every morning on Good Morning Jesus. Our God is faithful. You know, and you know, it resounds every time. And you know, it goes, there's a cascade of life and light that keeps going when we say those things. And you know, God is faithful. Faithful, when I checked it up, you know, in the Greek, is God is trustworthy. God is true. God is sure. And there are three persons of the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each one of them is faithful. Each person of the Godhead is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, it says, "For God is love." God doesn't have love. God is the embodiment of love. God is one that defines love. If God does anything, that is love. Okay? You don't say, "Oh, this doesn't look..." You now use things to judge whether it is God. No. Use God to judge whether it is love. Amen? Alright? And that's important. And each one of the persons of the Godhead is omniscient. That is, they know everything. Is omnipotent. They have all power. And they are omnipresent. Each one of them at the same time. Now, that's why they're God. Amen? I know there's a message Pastor preached many years ago about the form of God. The Bible says that the earth alone is a footstool. So you can imagine, what does his chest look like? Alright, what does his head look like? What does his leg look like? Can you imagine? Alright, so that's the form of God. And so when you, it's important to, as we go over this message, I'm not saying anything new, saying everything Pastor Mommy have taught us, but you know, it's fresh, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, and it's supposed to strengthen our faith in the person of God. In the person of God. God is a person. You know, he's light. He doesn't have darkness. You know, and it doesn't matter what we're going through. You don't judge your situation to judge God. You allow God to be your reference point. God will be your anchor. Then you judge your situation in the light of what God calls it. If God says, in this situation, rejoice. Rejoice. If God says, in this situation, be calm. Be calm. It's very important that we allow God to be our reference point. Amen? And I know they never fail. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, it says, love never faileth. You know, in the Amplified. Alright? You can put that up for me, but I really want to save time. Okay? Alright? So, now each person have their distinct personality. Verse 8. Okay? A distinct personality. So, they're different persons. Just like you have your personality and I have mine. So they have their distinct personalities. But they share a common nature. They share a common character. And they share common glory. So they're the same. You know, in the sense of having the same nature. Having the same character. Okay? And that character is summarized in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23-24, as loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Now let's turn there. Right. Okay. Thank you. And let's read it together. It says, "Thus saith the Lord." Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. Amplified. Quickly. Thank you. Thus says the Lord, "Let not the one who is wise and skillful boast in his insight, and let not the one who is mighty and powerful boast in his strength. Let not the one who is rich boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly abundance." You know, there are many people that need to read the scripture. The things we boast in. You know, these are the things we boast in. We boast in how much we have. You know, what we can do. Our influence. Our strength. Both physical and the intangible power. You know, the one that corrupts absolutely. Okay? No, he's saying, don't boast in this. And it goes to verse 24. "But let the one..." So God boasts. He says, "But let the one who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, and acknowledges me, and honors me as God, and recognizes what? Without any..." One more time. "Without any doubt that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these things I delight." Give it to me in the Message Bible. It's very important. So God doesn't want us to have any doubt. We know we're not entertaining any doubt. You know, don't let what people say or what your experience is saying to put doubt in your heart. Amen. Says God's message. Says, don't let the wise brag of their wisdom. Don't let the heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches. Next verse. If you brag, brag of this and this only, that you understand and know me. This is what we brag about. The amount of the knowledge of God that we possess. Not just the head knowledge or the revelational knowledge, the experiential knowledge of God. Okay? That I'm God and I act in loyal love. I do what's right. I set things right and fair and delight in those who do the same. These are my trademarks. Now, notice that God says in these things I delight. But in the message says, I delight in those that do the same. So what is God saying? God is saying he primarily boasts in his character. Okay? And of course, because the character is, once you have the character, God can trust you with the wisdom. He can trust you with the power. He can trust you and I with the glory. So the character is the key that he's looking for. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? And that God also wants us to also boast in those things. We also ought to boast in loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. That's what we should be boasting in. So now, it's important to understand that when God made man, he needed a basis upon which to relate with us, you know, as men, consistently for all eternity. Because in God's mind, it was a plan for eternity. It wasn't a short-term plan. No, God doesn't do that. God was from the beginning right up to the end. He saw it. And so he needed to have a basis to relate with us. So initially, he began with animal sacrifices. And then he had servants on the earth who spoke words into the air. And then God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, put all those words together over centuries and came up with what we call the written word. Now that written word is the constitution of heaven. And he put it together and ratified it in the blood of Jesus Christ. So that it was now functional and operative as the constitution of heaven. So that word is supreme in all creation. And you know what God did? Just to make sure that everybody is clear about that. The Bible says in Psalm 138 verse 2, God now magnified that word above his name. So he himself is now subject to the word. I want you to understand, I know we have the word, we read the word every day, but you need to understand how important it is. How grave, the grave emphasis and weight that God puts on the word. You know, so when you understand that once that word was, Jesus Christ said in Luke 22 verse 20, he says, this cup is the New Testament ratified in my blood. So when the canon was complete, Old Testament, New Testament, then the word of God was set upon the earth, and it was then that the gospel of the kingdom could now be preached. Before then, the gospel wasn't complete. It was in part. And now that it is complete, you know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. So once it is preached, you can enter into it. So when God put the gospel of the kingdom, they put the canon of the word together, then no man could now take his place in the, you know, the fullness of his place in God's creation. That is very normal. So because that word was the basis, there had to be a legal basis for there to be a vital experience. God needed that. So, and that's what God has done in giving us that Bible that you carry around every day. So this Bible now is what we stand. When you say you are standing on the word, even though you are standing on literally, when you say, that's what you are standing on. Amen. It's the constitution of God. Amen. And is supposed to give us the fullness of what God has promised. What has God promised? Ephesians 3:19. God wants to, you know, in the book of Ephesians, you see a lot of in us. I can reconcile all things, you know, in one. You know, he's talking about this thing, about this plan that has been going on, and I've been patiently waiting. When Job lived and died, David lived and died, still not complete. Continued and was working on it, making it complete until all the Old Testament was done. Then Jesus came, and then Jesus had to speak something there because it was still being built. It was still being built until it was all complete. I said, now, I now have. So some other generations could not experience what we're about to experience. It's to us it has been given. Because we have the complete canon. And we're going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. Alright, so look at Ephesians 3:19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. Now, you need to know what that, we have to go and listen to some pastors weekly remember to understand what is the fullness of God. First of all, you must know what is the form of God. No, heaven is his throne. So what is his own size? The heavens, all the solar systems that is still expanding now, that is his throne. His throne is expanding, sitting down. What is his real size? That's his form. Now, that form of the Father, there is a form of the Son, there is a form of the Holy Spirit. Now, the three of them together is the fullness of God. Amen. Now, the fullness of God, can that fullness of God enter into your body? It's not, it's too much. You blow the sacrifice. But in God's plan, he has, because God is this earth is tilted at an angle. The signs have proven that we are at an angle, a very, very, very peculiar angle. So that if you change that angle, this whole ball doesn't sustain life. So God in his infinite wisdom has arranged a way for us to be able to have access to that fullness. So all you need is access. Just like carry ATM card. You don't need cash. The ATM card is effective and good. You get there, you have POS, you pay. You just bring out your ATM, you get the cash you need, and your ATM is you have your password. The password is love. So there is a card that you are carrying spiritually. Now, that card gives you access to the fullness. So anytime you need it, the fullness will just be downloaded. And so that's what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. Just downloaded the fullness. In a measure, it was all controlled. The Holy Spirit is measuring how much she can take. Imagine how, you don't understand. So you don't, the hair on her head doesn't stand up straight. Because of the amount of the power that is coming. So just enough to heal. And the thing just stopped. Why won't it stop? It was God. She touched God. And the fullness was there. Do you understand? That's the meaning of the fullness being pleased to dwell bodily. That's your destiny. And you're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. And then of course the glory. John 14:12 says that greater works. Jesus Christ said to him, say, greater works than this shall you do. Because I go to the Father. Now you understand it. Because he goes to the Father, and Father and Son are there together, he can organize the fullness coming in and through us. He will oversee, coordinate, how the fullness is working in and through all of us. He will distribute. Just have a disco, you have Genko, you have disco. The generating people generate the power, the distributing people distribute it. That's why I said, because I go to the Father, you will do greater works. Let's give God a clap of him. Amen. So he's assuring us that because he's back on the throne with the Father, he ever lives to make intercession to make sure that we arrive at the fullness of our destiny. That's why we say God is faithful. Okay? Now, we understand that now. Okay? All right. Now, so that word that God has given us allows us to plead our case. In Isaiah 41:21-23, it says, bring forth your strong reasons. It says, produce your cause. And says, and to manifest his will in our lives on the earth. The Bible says his word will not return to him void. All right, so that's why the word is so important, because it's actually it's an equipment, in God. All right, so now we understand, how we know that God is faithful, and then we understand how He wants to be faithful through us. He wants to dispense, his power and his wisdom, demonstrate his love, through our character, so that we can prove that God is alive and we can show that God is faithful. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 12. No, the scripture says in Acts 13, you go to 1 Corinthians, Acts 13, 22, it says, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. So, I'm sure you're going through things, you know, we're all going through things in our different lives, our different circumstances. And the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. And we truly are. But Acts 13:20 says it's through much tribulation that you enter into this fullness. Amen. Acts 14, I beg your pardon. Acts 14:22. Thank you. Alright. Okay, so now look at this. Let's read this. You know, so this word God has given me, you know, He's really saying that though you may be in tough situations, you know, tough events have happened. Okay? Tough people are around you. God is letting you know that He's in control. He is in control. And every situation has been carefully allowed. It has been measured to make sure it's your size. It's your size. It has been custom built, custom made for you. It may take us by surprise, but it has been allowed, weighed, checked. God is fair. He's just. He's weighed it, checked it, duration, time, everything, and then, okay, allowed. So even though it takes us by surprise, relax. God is in control. That's what God is trying to say today, all right? Well, let's read it together. Now, you need to read this with me. Say, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Next verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? One more time. God is what? Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to that you may be able to bear. What is God saying? As soon as you see the temptation, naturally you can just write it down and take it to the bank that there is already prepared a way to. You must work. You know, this is about having a mentality, an overcomer's mentality. You know, so that as soon as you see it like this, the first you respond to is in faith. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. There is a way of escape. I know we pray this every morning of Good Morning Jesus prayers. Every time. We keep some, whether it's mommy or Pastor William or Sister Ems, anyone, we talk about God giving us wisdom to see strength, ability, and courage to find the way of escape. So the key is to find it. It's there. And so it's reassuring to know that we don't serve an unfaithful God. We don't serve an irresponsible God. Our God didn't bring us to a place to just leave us high and dry. And we're going to be seeing from people's examples in the Bible how God allows things to come to people and already helps them to navigate, to find the way of escape, and takes them out and uses that temptation to promote you to a higher level. Because it's not just about escaping so that the thing will not come again. The escaping is an escape into promotion. It's an escape into increase. It's an escape into a higher level. This is a real breakthrough. The thing Satan thought would bring you down lifts you up. God designs it like that. So he uses Satan to hasten your promotion. My promotion, our growth. He uses him. So we really need to be grateful to him. In a way, for attacking. Because without him, he won't speed up the process. You know, it's not the temptation or tribulation that brings the growth. It is our walk God that brings the growth. But that tribulation or temptation hastens the process. Like a catalyst. What a catalyst does. Okay, thank you. Give it to me in the Amplified. I actually have the Amplified here. Okay, let's read it together in the Amplified. Amplified. No temptation. Let's read it together. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is to His word. He is compassionate and trustful, and He will not let you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, He had in the past for Daniel and Joseph, and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so you'll be able to endure it without yielding, and you will overcome temptation with what? Now give God a super clap of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Overcome temptation with joy. Alright, so we see. And then next verse. Next verse. Wherefore? Because of all this. He says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So this is what God is saying to us. You know, that truly we are unstoppable and our gains are unshakable because of God working on our behalf to cause all things to work together for our good. Alright? Now why is it important that we prove God faithful? We've already said that, because we need to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, and you know, as we exercise God's character, we prove Him faithful. Because we align ourselves to Him and enable Him express Himself through us. So as you walk more, as you exercise loving kindness, and I do, exercise justice, exercise righteousness, we align, because that's who God is. So we align more and more with Him. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, it says, God is at work in us, both to will and to of His good pleasure. So God delights in loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. And then He wants to delight in us. He wants us to delight in it as well. And then He works it into us. That's how God does it. So He works it into us so that, you know, once we align to the degree that we align, then the power can flow, the wisdom can flow, and then God can be proven to be who He is. That's very important. We know that loving kindness is the first aspect of God. It's mercy, really. It's the love of God, and that's the first part. We all, when we come to God, that's the first part we see. God accepts us the way we are, you know. And God is kind, He's patient, He's forbearing, you know, and He's gentle, and He takes us in, and He Bible says, you know, as a nurse, you know, He looks after us, you know, wipes your nappy and grows you up, you know, under faithful spiritual oversight. Amen? And He does that. And as you experience that loving kindness, you know, there is nothing. You ask for this, God gives you. You ask for that, God gives you. I'm sure a lot of us can think back, you know, and that's loving kindness, you know, and it's there all the time, continuously. Amen? But after a while, the essence of the loving kindness is to produce righteousness. So now, if that righteousness is not produced, then God brings in, of necessity, justice, judgment, you know, so that judgment can correct, you know, the heart that is of the individual. Because God is more interested in correcting that heart and making it a heart of flesh, you know, not a heart of stone. You know, He wants it to be a heart of gold, not a heart of wood, hair, and stubble. So He comes and He brings in, the Bible says, in faithfulness, Psalm 119, verse 75. He says, in faithfulness you have afflicted me. He's still the part of that faithfulness. He allows judgment to come because He is faithful to want you to share of His nature, share of His character, share of His glory. He's not doing it for Himself, He's doing it for you and for me. So even when, you know, God is chastening, you know, in judgment, there is mercy undergirding it. Everything is measured. you know, to just make sure it's enough for you to bear and for you to get the message that God is speaking to you. And then when you repent then and walk in righteousness, then you know your God moves to another level. And we keep growing like that. We grow now. So all three parts of God work together. You cannot have one part alone. No, some part, people's part is just loving kindness. God cannot treat you the way he's been treating you for 20 something years. It's not possible. There's no responsible person that does that. Okay? So God will he will make a demand. And many times that's when the crowd thins. When he says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," and then people say, "That one is too hard," and all that. But we are not. That's why we are here. Amen. We have taken that. Okay, and we are walking with it. And so God is saying that this is the process. Just to explain to us that this is the process that is going on. Alright? So that is very important. Alright? Now as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, you will see that there are two things we should not do. We should not think that we stand. That's number one. And number two, we should flee from idolatry. Those are two other things that are important for us to understand in order to prove God faithful. You know, when you think you stand, what really happens to us when we think we stand? You know, when I know it happens when you walk with God to a certain degree, you know, you will enjoy God's presence and you will enjoy God's blessings. You know, and it's very important for us to understand, particularly now that we understand that the glory is far more than anything that we have seen. You know, we should understand the fact that we do not boast in the glory. We boast in the character, the loving kindness, the justice, and the righteousness. And we use the glory to bless others. Amen. It's very important that we understand. So, the same way you're not boasting in riches, you're not boasting in children, you're not boasting in wisdom, you're not boasting in influence, you're not boasting in past victories. When there's always that tendency, really. It's a spirit, actually. Bible calls it the spirit of the strange woman. Okay? That comes to tell you, you know, you've really tried. You know, there's nobody like you. You know? The Bible talks about this strange woman and the evil man, you know, and the work, you know, the evil man is easy to see, you know, he's very clear, he's unrighteousness, he's not, you can tell a mile off that this guy is not of God, but no, the thing about the strange woman is that she is ungodliness, it's very subtle, you know, and she does specific things, and one thing she does is flattery. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 2. Give it to me. I think it's further down. Verse 13, 14, somewhere there. Yes. Thank you. Let's read together. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. To deliver thee from thee. This woman we have to be afraid of. Not afraid of, but we have to be wary. From the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words. She's the one that met that young man. In Proverbs chapter 7, and told him that I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting since. Thank God you have arrived. I have prepared the bed. I have put this and put that and put this. In fact, she went to him and kissed him. No, you are. Oh, there's none like you. You know, it's that voice that tells you, you know, you should take it easy. You know, you should relax. You know, you deserve this now. Spoil yourself a little. Let's spoil you, you know. You are different from other people. You know, you are special. You know, and you deserve it. You know, yes, it tells you deserve it. You've earned the right. You know, you've earned the right before your time. That's what she does. Bible says, all that go her way. Follow the next verse. They don't come back to the way of life. We will not follow her in Jesus' name. Say, which forsaketh the guide of our youth. So she makes sure that you do not listen to the Holy Spirit, the guide of our youth. And forget it. So make sure you forget to pray. The things that will establish you in the covenant, her job is to make sure you don't do them. You don't feel like doing them. So when you want to read your Bible, you sleep. When you want to pray, you sleep. So if you sleep, wake up, clean your eye, and pray. Just if I like confess my sins, and in Jesus' name I have life, draw life again, and pray. Don't let her get away with it. Don't say, let me cook, sleep, dada. Let me go. This one, I'm sleeping in a chair. I'm not suffering myself. Let me go. Let me narrow. Let me stretch. No. She a little slumber. She will tell you is little. She will tell you is little. That's her job. Is to minimize things and magnify you, so that we no longer become small in our own eyes. Because she knows that meekness is necessary. That's why he says that therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. That's why you have to reject her voice. You have to cancel, you have to reject her thoughts. Bind the spirit behind it. And keep telling yourself, I am small in my own eyes. I esteem others as better than myself. And make sure you do it. You keep telling it to yourself so that you can be free of her. Because you have to separate. It's a surgical operation, you see. You know, the word of God that is piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and mind is able to separate you from her. Is able to separate. Because sometimes she comes in very, she's woven. No, we are coming from Babylon into Zion. You know, so it was a part and a way of thinking that we had. You understand? But these are the grave clothes that Lazarus had to remove because they limited him. Am I going? We are removing it in Jesus' name. So that's important. Alright? And then, you know, he says we should flee from idols. You know? And really, what does it mean? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16. 15 and 16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, what does she... The essence of this is she drops our level of vigilance. She drops our level of faithfulness. She drops our level of consistency. So things you should do four times a day, you start doing them twice, and there is no problem. Things that you used to do, you know, and do at a certain time, it tells you to do it later. You know, and then that later, it will not be possible. So there are many ways, there are many devices, you know, but this is the key. Look at 1 Timothy 4. It says, meditate. This is where to defeat her. It's in the thought process. It says, meditate upon these things. What things? It's talking about the things of godliness. Okay? But meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So it means that if you don't meditate on these things, it is possible that our profiting may not appear. Our own profiting will appear to all in Jesus' name. Alright? Next verse. Take heed unto thyself. That's your heart. And unto the doctrine. That is the word, the instructions that we have been given. Continue in them. For in doing this, this is the key. Continue with the same consistency. Continue with the same diligence. Continue. Make sure that you don't slack. You know, make sure that you're not slacking. Things you're supposed to do daily, do them daily. Things you're supposed to be doing 4 hours, do them 4 hours. So when you move from once every 6 hours, you move to every hour. You don't stay in once every 6 hours and stay there and say, I'm trying. And you're not moving forward to once every hour. You're not moving forward to having to watching consistently, where every time, by the help of the Holy Spirit, your mind is alert. It's the place. So you keep pushing. You don't allow her to tell you, you take it easy now. You're okay. It's your grace too much. No, listen to that. He says, for in doing so, you will both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's very important. Okay? Alright. So that aspect, that's there. And then, of course, flee from idols. What are idols? Pastor taught us this. That idols are anything that takes the time, the attention, or the affection meant for God. So, time, attention, and affection. Anything. It could be legitimate things can be an idol. Something can be an idol now and may not be an idol tomorrow. So it's dynamic. So the key here is that we need to be doing this. We need to be watching. We need to be praying. Okay? And I want you to see quickly, as I trust the Holy Spirit to help me, quickly from these examples. Example one. Now, I'm going to give you three examples. Number one is when we sleep spiritually, when we allow ourselves to sleep spiritually. Okay? Now, that's, we see that in Job. You look at Job 1:1. Now, you need to be quick. Chaps on this thing, my brethren. You need to be quick with this thing. Alright? Now, look at Job here. The Bible says that Job, there was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. That's the heart. And one that feared God. That's the conduct. And eschewed evil. So, Job was a godly man. He was moving in God's direction. I want you to see this. He feared God. He was keeping God's commandments. Look at verse 5 quickly. But there was a loophole because Job was sleeping. Something had dropped, but Job wasn't aware. You know that happens to us sometimes. I want you to show you the faithfulness of God. That even when, some things drop on your path, God will catch you. And God will carry you up. Amen? By the mercy and the grace of God. Alright? So I'm also like the days of talking about Job's children, you can see that Job, instead of he's saying that, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. They're having party every day. Don't let's go there. Alright? How can you have a party every day? And they will not sin. So Job, instead of doing open rebuke, Job did secret love. Instead of talking to them directly, and parents, you should discern the time. There's a time for open rebuke. And there's time for God have mercy. No, but this, when something is consistent, when the frequency is consistent, daily party, ha! That's their profession. And that's what you do. And that's what you do every day. Come on. And that one's, there was a loophole, and he was doing secret love when he should have been doing open rebuke. Proverbs 27 verse 5. I'm going to turn there. So his gaze shifted. His gaze had shifted actually from God to man. Job had been looking and he stopped measuring himself by God's standard. He was measuring himself by the people around him. And by far around him, he was light years ahead. So, he didn't say anything wrong. Nothing was wrong. Now, verse 8, quickly. Look at God in his mercy. God saw the situation and said, Kai, this is a big loophole. Tried to tell Job, he didn't pick it. He was, picking it in his conscience, but his prayer life wasn't the way it was supposed to be. So he wasn't really getting it clearly. So he kept offering sacrifice instead of asking God for a word. So he can act on and obey the word. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So he didn't do that. But look at what God did. Immediately God saw, verse 8, God called Satan. And did something that limited the damage that Satan could do. So that could take everything, but it couldn't kill him. That was an act of mercy on the part of God. Otherwise, if Satan saw it by himself, he would... He would have just destroyed Job. That's how Pastor taught us. He would have just destroyed Job totally, and he would have had a right. Because the hedge that he had put around Job had by himself opened it. May we not open the hedge in Jesus' name. But that's what happens sometimes when we sleep spiritually. When we're not aware. We're doing it, but we're not aware. It's just like when you sleep during Good Morning Jesus. Hello. Hello. God will have mercy. Don't worry. Pastor and Mommy are praying, so they will catch you. And they will catch us. Catch us. I put my... don't sleep during prayer. But when you sleep during prayer, you're not aware. Just like Peter, Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were sleeping. They didn't hear what the people said. Who said they were supposed to have been excluded from what was being said? They were there. But they were content with the fact that, I remembered you. At least I saw them. This one, Elijah. This one, I saw them. I saw them. What did they say? It's more important than what you saw. What did they say? Because it's what they say that's going to bring increase to you. That's how God designed it. the spoken word is the word that's supposed to set free. It's the word that's supposed to be bring deliverance. It's what that releases God's authority into the air. Because when it's spoken, God has a right to perform. That's why I say the word not return to me, boy. He has a right to perform. So it's very important. That's more important than anyway. That's you get my point. That so God had to move in with loving kindness. And you go to Job 34 verse 4, then that 34 verse 31 and 32, you see God correcting, using Elihu to correct Job, and telling Job, no, if you look at 34 verse 4, I want to bring out something there. Say, let us choose towards what? Let us choose towards what? Judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. If you don't judge yourself, you keep going on as if everything is okay, you're doing all you can do, and there are things that you are omitting to do, or there are things that you are not doing well. Well, that's why you cannot leave yourself without judging yourself. Job didn't used to judge himself. Anything he does is okay. When you are comparing yourself with God, you must use God's yardstick and measure yourself with the reed. With the reed in Revelation chapter 12, you measure yourself with the reed. You don't measure yourself with prof is not near me. So that's what it was doing. So when those things happened to him, he was saying, but I don't deserve this. Elihu had to tell him that, are you more righteous than God? He had to tell him. Anyway, you know the story. Job repented. And when Job repented, God gave him an opportunity to exercise the same thing. Notice what we read. In these things do I delight. So God wants us to exercise it. So God said, okay, you two, pray for your friend. Show them mercy. And Bible says, when Job did that, God turned his captivity and blessed him with twice as much as he had prior. So God, what Satan took away, God substituted and gave him double. Amen. Give God a clap of it. Amen. But our God is not the God of substitution, no. Our God is the God of addition. He will keep adding to us because we don't allow that to happen to us in Jesus' name. Amen. It won't happen to us in Jesus' name. But God put it there as a worst case design to let you know that God is faithful to save even when things go that bad. And we have not gone that bad, and we are not going to go that bad in Jesus' name. So there's hope in Jesus' name. So Job, did Job prove God faithful? Yes. By time when you can imagine his friends that said, you are a wicked man, you are a hypocrite. God has finally caught you today. When God gave him double, they were shut up. God put their mouth in a state of shut up. Put to silence the ignorance of punishment. Okay. Now the second example is the example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not repent in his own case. And Jesus did tell him, look at John, Luke chapter 7, verse 23. Well, 22. You know, the correction didn't come, it didn't come like correction. You see, brethren, we must have a heart that is open to correction. Some people make a comment, and that comment is the correction. God will use it to correct you. But it's not really a correction. But, you know, if you're not looking for it, you can miss it. This is the key. He says, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. So it means that anybody who is offended in me is not blessed. That means that person is cursed. And what's the opposite of blessing? It is now. It is. You are keeping quiet. You see this? What's the opposite of blessing? It is. So when, as soon as they told him that, it's like, I won't be cursed in Jesus' name. It's true. I should repent. Do you see the miracles? Yes, sir. We saw the miracles. Father, please, I confess my sins. Have mercy. He did not. Alright? And then he
we know what happened to him. I mean, his head was cut off. That will not happen to us in Jesus' name. But we see that it has to do with loving kindness, responding to loving kindness, responding to judgment, responding to righteousness. Amen. You must respond to all three. You can't pick and choose which one. And then example three, we see Daniel, someone who's alert spiritually. Brethren, the fact that you're alert spiritually, God still allows things to come to move us up quicker to where we are going. Amen. Look at Daniel chapter 6 verse 4 quickly. They could find no loophole because he kept the law diligently. So the fact that you're doing everything diligently doesn't mean affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. But hold on to that word because it's going to be your ladder of promotion. Amen. Amen. All right, look at that. So we see that they looked and they couldn't find. So they came through somebody close to him, the king. You know, Satan will try and find somebody near you. It doesn't matter. That's why God is faithful. It doesn't matter what, you know, these are live examples to prove his faithfulness. That, look, it doesn't matter what he tries to do, I will still be there for you. And I will turn it around in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so he came to someone close to me, in this case, the king. And by the time they had done it and dribbled him, the king saw that, they've tied my hand. You know, so you know what happened? He knew he could not help. But look at verse 15 and 16. Daniel's composure all through. Daniel was in tune with heaven moment by moment. So Daniel was calm. And you know what? The king got faith from just looking at Daniel. Look at it. And then these men assembled and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. It's too late. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of the lions. Okay, I've said it, so it must be done. But this party short. His party shot him. See, now the king spake unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest, he will deliver thee. With thou servest what? Continually, thank you. Whom thou servest continually, will what? He will deliver thee. It's continuous. You see, the continuous. His faithfulness helps us to be faithful. And then we're able to stand, having done all to stand. Amen? That's the will of God. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Alright. And verse 22, we see Daniel's heart. We read that on Sunday, where Pastor Dave was teaching us. And he says, My God has sent his angels, for they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before the O King. So before God and spirit and authority. Before God and authority, Daniel was blameless. So he came, no offense. Conscience brought of offense. Alright? So Satan tried. So Satan tries to look for a loophole. It is possible not to give him any. In our heart relationship with God and heart relationship with oversight. It's very important. You know, so it's important. You know, there are two separate things, and the two of them, we must look after those two. And make sure. Because when he did that, you know, the lion's mouth was shut all through the night. And the proof that the lions were being controlled by an external force, you know, it's an equation. It's an experiment. You know, you test it. When they removed Daniel and put other people there that didn't have the same righteousness and the same loving kindness and the same justice, the lion said, today. And destroyed them. All right? So we see that. But this is to show that God is faithful. And you look at that, you know, the God whom he serves continually. When you serve God continually, God comes for you. He will not leave you. He will not leave your loved ones. Both Daniel and the king, his friend, were delivered. So even when people around you make mistakes, God can correct it. You don't lose your composure. Hey, oh, Nipami. Hey, no. Relax. Stay close to God. Don't go on. And if you do, Lord have mercy on me. Okay. Konipami. I repent. Amen. Amen. And repent and then ask God to have mercy and be calm. and hear, because He will show you what to do. He will show you what, and show you. He will show you the, give you the wisdom, the strength, the courage, and the resources to find the way of escape. Amen. How then do we do this? Well, basically, it's everything we've been taught. So, just summarize. Okay, daily self-judgment. Judge ourselves daily. And the reason why is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. We should judge ourselves, so we should not be judged. If we are not judging ourselves, it means that we are okay. It means that you're not using God's yardstick. God says, use my yardstick to judge yourself. Judge your attitude to God, your attitude to authority. What did I say? Why did I say it? Why did I think this? I haven't told anybody what I thought, but why did I think this? Lord, I repent. Correct it. Change it. Immediately. And you become better. You just move up. That's self-judgment. You are exercising judgment. And that's how God is. That's what God does. God doesn't take anything for granted. He himself checks. He keeps checking. Amen? Alright. Next one. Watch and pray. The way we've been taught. You know, Bible says that watch and pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape. So we escape into our destiny. Amen. We're not escaping, run away. You know, in spite of the tribulation, in that maze of a tribulation, there is a way that leads into your destiny. So you escape, when the Bible says you escape into your destiny in the tribulation and then overcome it. So it's amazing that God makes the way through, verses through much tribulation. So the way is in tribulation. So that, but the key is that as you watch and pray, you have light. You have strength. So you can see, even though it's dark to everybody else, you can see a ray of light. And you can say, this is the way. Just like when Paul was supposed to go as a prisoner, they were supposed, and then, you know, he told them, this journey. There was nothing yet. He told them, this journey. Before the tribulation came, Paul had already seen. And he went through it and brought everybody out on the other side. Give God a clap offering. Amen. That's God faithful. He tells you that God is faithful. Amen. He proved God faithful. And when some people wanted to escape, to use their own, and said, don't do that. Stay. So it's important to have light. Amen. All right. So that's why we watch and pray. And we use the blood, the word, and the spirit. We know that. We strive to maintain 4 times daily. You know, so that we will not be found sleeping. Work towards it if you are not there. So you will not be sleeping. That's what it means to sleep. You know, we will not sleep in Jesus' name. Number 3. Grow diligence. We grow our diligence in praying with our thoughts. Pastor taught us this. Believing and praying with our thoughts. Each of those messages is adding something to us that we can practice. Amen. That's the idea. Something that we can practice so we can get better and better and better. Alright? Jude 21. The Bible says, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Isn't it? It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you are looking. That's the looking. You're looking for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. You're looking. And you know, once you, my experience is that as you ask, and as you ask God for mercy, and Lord, have mercy on me to walk in love. Lord, have mercy on me to be faithful. Lord, thank you. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, you just become conscious of God and your thoughts without necessarily trying. You just are aware. So you can catch this thought and, Lord, I confess this. Lord, have mercy on me. And then you can now meditate upon these things. You can now think on things in the Word. You know, I begin to say, Lord, no, I do nothing through strife and vainglory. I esteem others as better than myself. You say it, and as you say it yourself in your heart, you become more like that. And that's how you do. Even when you don't feel like doing that, you turn around and say, that's exactly what you did. Because God is in control. Amen. So it's practice. Diligence, just know how Pastor talks about diligence. You know, diligence is what you seek to do it. and you keep practicing and you get better because of the grace. Amen. It's not as if it's when you do it that you get the grace. It's your willingness to do it that brings the grace and the effort. Amen. All right. Number four, attend church regularly so we can hear what God is saying and pick out the rhema word that God has designed to build holiness into you and I. There are one or two or three scriptures in the word that God has kept for you. And you need to be in church to hear. It's not all the scriptures. It's one or two, but they are vital. And as you work them in, when things come, like Daniel, cool. Even if you haven't worked it in and it comes, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. You can go and find it. Amen. And find it and put it in space. I want you to put it in the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let's look at that. All scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So as you listen to preaching from the pulpit, you know, it's given by inspiration. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, what God says, the word is an equipment. I'll say it again. So, the word is an equipment to accomplish good work. You can't do godly work by human strength, by human effort. You need to put the word inside. That's why the message on Sunday, Pastor, you was preaching beautifully, was talking about the fact that David told Solomon to serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. What is producing that perfect heart and that willing mind is the word.
Hello. Okay, right. I was saying on Sunday, Pastor was preaching that, you know, David told Solomon that you serve God with a perfect heart, right? And with a willing mind in uprightness. And why did he put that clause? He could have said, you serve him in uprightness. Why did he put, because the heart is where the life and the power is coming from to back the action. That's why there are three parts. There is the heart, there are the spiritual works with power, and then there is the conduct. There are three of them, all three working together. Amen. And we saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. You see the three of them together. You know, the works, you see the heart, and then you see the conduct, the actual end product, which is divine law, which is the character. It comes from the word and the spirit working on the inside. That's the will of God, okay? And that's why the word is so important. I told you at the beginning, it took God great pains to get that word together. Great pains. So you and I need to treasure it and value it, you know, and give it its place in our hearts. Amen. And of course, number five, maintain seven pillars. That seven pillars, we know that. Spoken about that, honesty and humility. When you are judging, those are the things that you're judging: honesty and humility, praying with travail, communion, prayer, you know, Bible, confession of the word, meditation of the word, and all that. And the fasting and living a fasted life. And number six, serving with integrity and diligence at school, at work, in your business, in your practice, you serve with diligence. It's very important. That's how you prove God faithful. You serve with diligence in the place that God has called us. And God will progressively demonstrate His glory and His character in and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Let's learn from the examples
We see an example of the watchman, Daniel, who was alert spiritually because he was serving continually. So don't let there be break in your service. And if there's a break, make it very short. Don't let it be extended for days and a week and weeks. Quickly get back. Don't allow omissions. That's part of where you judge yourself. Okay, I did this one, but I didn't do this one. Lord, I repent. Those are omissions. You minimize omissions. Because the path to the fullness is through much tribulation. So we need to insulate ourselves in God's presence. Where we have light, we have life and strength, and we can navigate the way with divine light, divine resources, and divine strength. Let's take this song as we sing unto the Lord.
I will have no other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you. I lay down all of my idols and the thrones I have made, and I give you your place, O Lord.
I will have
no other God but you alone, and I will bow to no other God but you. Thrones I have made, and I give you your place, O Lord.
I give myself
as an offering to you,
holy acceptable.
Faith, put our left hand on our heart. There's some of us that the Holy Spirit is telling me that the loving kindness aspect of God's character is not real to you. God loves you very much, more than you can ever understand, and He wants to give you the things that you are asking Him for, more than you can even want to receive. Secure yourself in that loving kindness. Accept it by faith. Tell it to yourself, God loves me. Don't use situations and circumstances to judge whether God loves you or He doesn't love you. No. Take it from the Word. I love you with an everlasting love. You are accepted in the Beloved.
Nothing can take you out of His right hand. He loves you. He's looking out for you. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So be secure yourself in that. And then from that standpoint, now judge yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Condemn the action. Don't condemn yourself. And no matter how many times you fall, get up again and try again. You are going to make it. Because the more you try, the grace will multiply unto you. Don't give up. That's what God is saying to us today. Alright, let's put up our hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess my sins of unbelief, not accepting your loving kindness, your righteousness, and your justice as I ought to. I repent and I renew my determination that I also, I accept your love. I love you because you first loved me. I accept your love into my life. I now determine to love you back by exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. Help me, Lord. I receive mercy to present my heart and my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I choose to renew my mind. I reject thoughts of ease, self-flattery, and pride, and arrogance, independence, and I accept thoughts of humility, thoughts of sincerity, esteeming others better than me. I do not think of myself more highly than I ought to, and I exercise my faith every time I go through situations. I choose to believe there is a way of escape, and I pray, and you open my eyes to see the way of escape in every situation. I draw close to those in authority over me so that I will be adjudged righteous and faithful, and you will be able to show yourself strong on my behalf in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rabba Kasandia, Roba Bobaba Kumbari, Rabba Baba Baba Kasta, Rabba Katamato Bea, Roba Bobo Bakatai, Mapa Bako Sekelebe, Mapa Karea, Roba Baba Baba Hunye, Roba Ia, Roba Kasa, Rosego, Jekelebeberi Kamanu, Mapa Bakatogo, Jekelebeberi, Roba Kato, Rosso Soso, Meke Koko Lebeberedo, Belebeta, Bopa Koto, Roboko. Gole, Robo, Baria, Rabas, Jekele Beberio, Bane Lebesa, Ruda Nana Bototo, Rene de Benica Kaka, Robo Bobo Bobo Son, Sepreke, Banda, Beka, Koa, Raba Katara, Runa, Bele, Rane, Bele Lebesa, Rasa, Jepreke Ko, Bangi Beba. In Jesus' name, amen. Francis.